Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is down there in Studio X. He will navigate the ship. I've got a whole fleet of people here tonight, though. Normally it's just me and Rhino, and he does enough. But we took extra precaution here tonight, and Houston and Alex are here with me here at the Golden Moon at the Sportsbook at Timeout Lounge. We've enjoyed a great show here for Sports Talk Mississippi. Well, I'm going to wrap things up with you here on a Wednesday evening. Of course, we are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. Visit Vicksburg.com, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. We'll be talking about some of the great stuff. They may regret, they used to send me an email that said, hey, talk about these things. And now they're just like, hey, just go to our calendar of events and pick stuff. I can't wait to tell you about the first one. We'll have to wait on that a little bit, though. This past weekend, Mississippi State wrapped up its second scrimmage as we are now, guess what, 11 days away from the start of the college football season here in Starkville. The state will have another, I don't know if scrimmage is the right word this week, in controlled game practice environment. I don't know the exact wording. That's going to be this weekend. But what I asked Jeff Lebby after his practice was, you know, there's completely not ready to play. We're not ready. We're not here yet. Versus we are ready, or maybe as ready as we're going to be, but we're ready to play football. Where is your team? Now, he coach-speaked me, and he is, I tell you what, it's a chess game between me and Lebby these past few weeks, trying to get information out of him, but basically said that, you know, he felt they were right in the middle, you know, trending towards getting ready to play, but still a long way to go. And I that's not a surprising answer. I would have been more surprised if he had leaned heavily towards one or the other. If he had told me, I think we could go out and play today, I would have been really surprised by that. But at the same time, if he had told me, hey, I think we're going to get out and we're not close to, even close to that first game, that would have also surprised me. So not overly surprising. My question is the real answer, though. You know, can I get a leaning one way or the other? What I'm reading from Mississippi State is that State in practice is having some issues with the tempo that Jeff Lebby wants to play at. That getting out of the huddle, or, you know, getting to the line, getting your substitutions right, getting everybody lined up, trying to avoid pre-snap penalties, that's where the biggest issue is for Mississippi State right now. So they still got time to figure that out. And it felt like, according to Lebby, he said that he felt like that was their biggest progression week one to week two, was getting better at the pre-snap stuff. Defensively, I continue to hear good things from these practice reports when I talk to people. We've talked about this defense a lot here on this podcast, or on this radio show, and on on the podcast, and you know, by and large, our thought process has been they got a lot of work to do. We'll be generous with how we put it. But it appears like they're at least look like they can get out there, and it's not just going to be a train wreck. And I think that was a legit fear for some Mississippi State fans, that they were like, hey, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. I don't think it's going to be that historically bad defense that some fans are wanting to be. Is it going to be a top half of the SEC defense? I don't know about that. I don't think that's going to be the case. But is it going to be good enough that State, if they can be what we think Jeff Lebby is going to be in year one offensively, Is it going to be good enough to keep them in games and win them some games? Yeah, I think that's going to be the case for Mississippi State. Mike from Columbus says, can you find 5 wins for State so I can take the over 4.5? Well, first off, I would tell you to come here to the timeout, to the sports book here at the Golden Moon, and yeah, make that bet. You can take the 4.5, and you'll feel pretty confident about it, I think. I think State wins its non-conference games, and I think State can win. They can certainly beat Arkansas and or Florida. And if they can do that to get to 5, well, then pay that man. Winner, winner, lobster dinner. You got a winner there. And, of course, if you want to join the show, do so on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Happy to talk some MSU sports with you here as we are here at the Golden Moon. So I think the team right now, you know, it's obviously a process, right? You know, you start off, you're not ready to play at all, and as you get closer and closer to game day, you get to where you want to be. I don't think any coach in America would tell you we're ready. I think they would all tell you, well, if I could get another week of practice, I would, if I could get in a couple more days. But you also reach a point with your team where they don't want to practice anymore. They've got to play a game. It gets to that point sometimes in these preseason camps. You just can't keep hitting the same guys over and over again. You can't keep running the same drills over and over again. So for Mississippi State, you know, today was the last day of media availability. And Jeff Levy says now they're kind of into game week, starting with tomorrow's practices. The media has been shut out of the remainder of practice. The next time we talk to anybody will be Monday morning when Jeff Levy has his first game week press conference at Davis-Wade Stadium. So I feel like State is trending in the right direction. The things I hear from practice, I don't know if it gives me confidence is the right word, but more or less it helps me believe what I already believe. Maybe it's reinforcing what I already believed about this team, that they've got some talent, they've got some potential, but they do have to put it all together. I feel like State has been relatively lucky thus far on the injury bug. I don't know if there's enough wood. I don't even know what I'm knocking on, but so far so good on that front. Nobody I would say is irreplaceable. Has been hurt. How about the O-line, Danny and Columbus? I feel great things, Danny, about the offensive line. That's a group that has come together pretty well, that they've got, you know, they have experience there. It's just not experience at Mississippi State. You know, but Jacoby Jackson, Marlon Martinez, Mac Pounders, Ethan Miner have all played a ton of college football. So it's just about getting them all together. And the thing is, everybody on that offensive line, the Jeff Lebby offense is new for them. So they're all learning at the same pace. This isn't a situation where you come in and you got like one or two new guys who've got to get up to speed. Everybody is learning at the same pace there. But everything I've heard about that offensive line, I think it should be one of the strengths of this team. Offensive line and receiver, to me, are the strongest rooms on this football team. That's where I think receiver, you have the most talent, and offensive line, you have the most experience. And then everywhere else, it's you know, I have some questions here and there. You know, quarterback, obviously, with Chapin, the question is staying healthy. We're going to talk a little bit more about Blake Chapin in just a few minutes. Running back, you know, you got to figure out that rotation because it's pretty obvious they're going to work at it from a committee approach. So who has what role? How many guys are you going to want to rotate through? Are you going to want to use all four of those guys? I have trouble seeing a four-man rotation at the running back position. There's going to be an odd man out between Devon Booth, Kevon Lee, Johnny Daniels, and Jeffrey Pittman. I don't know who that guy is yet, but I just feels like that's going to be the case. Defensively, you've got a bunch of questions, obviously. You know, you got a lot of new faces there, and the guys who have been at Mississippi State are guys who haven't played a lot at Mississippi State. So a guy like Trevion Williams, Calvin Dinkins, John Lewis, Ty Cooper, these are guys that Mississippi State's going to have to rely on a lot this upcoming season, and they've never been relied upon before. So there's questions. I feel like I said, defensively, I've been surprised, to be totally honest with you, you know, because I really did have the impression coming into camp that it was going to be offense was going to dominate this camp, and you know, we were going to walk away and say some things like, okay, that's just what we thought. You know, they're going to score, they're going to outscore a lot of people, but we'll have to see about this defense. Instead, I wouldn't come out and tell you that I'm confident this is going to be a great defense by any stretch of the imagination, but can they be good? Can they be, you know, average? An average defense for Mississippi State this year with an above average offense is enough to go to a bowl game. And that's where you know that's where you got to set your goals in year one for Jeff Lebby is go to a bowl game, get to six wins. Anything above six is just delicious, delicious gravy for Mississippi State. So, as we said, camp, you know, preseason camp is kind of over. Now we're into season camp. Now we're into game week. Now we're into installing what we're going to do on Saturday. Now we're into, you know, the ones versus the ones is over. It's now the ones versus the scout team, and the scout team is playing Eastern Kentucky's role. So that's where we are as a football program going into this week. And we won't hear any more from Jeff Lebby until Monday, but I'm looking forward to that first press conference with him. Really have enjoyed being the morning stuff. Big fan of that. It means I get to go. You know, Arnett and Leach did everything in the afternoon, and I couldn't go to the press conferences. Now you get to hear my beautiful voice every time you watch a Mississippi State press conference with Jeff Lebby. All right, when we come back, like I said, I wanted to talk about Blake Shapen, something I'm going to bring from tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast here to the show. Can he be the surprise player in the SEC this year? We're going to ask that question when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
All right, back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm here at the Golden Moon Resort, the sports book. If you are the gambling type, and I know that I am, I took out my emotional insurance earlier today. I have placed a small wager on the Ole Miss Rebels to win the national title, and that way, regardless of what happens, if they lose, I'm not saying I'm going to be happy or anything, but I'm saying, you know how it is, and then if they win, a little cash in my pocket. It's what insurance is for. So I took care of that today here at the Golden Moon. I encourage you to do the same as well. As I mentioned, we are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg. Rhino, they're really going to regret not giving me some choices here. Hey, Saturday, August 24th, 9 o'clock a.m., downtown Vicksburg at the Farmer's Market, goat yoga. That's right. Bring your own yoga mat. The event is free and open to everyone, ages 5 and up. For more information, call 601-529-7527. It says bring your own yoga mat. Does not mention if you need to bring your own goat. So I assume the goats will be provided for you at Goat Yoga at the Vicksburg Farmers Market, 1000 Washington Street, 9 o'clock to 9:45 a.m.
So it's you pro bono goat yoga.
Pro bono goat yoga. Yes, correct. So there you go. Tomorrow on Thunder and Lightning on the podcast, Robbie Falk and I discussed this, and I wanted to bring it here to get some more, just to sort of talk it out a little bit more. And that's last year, the surprise player in the SEC was Florida quarterback Graham Mertz. Mertz coming in from, somebody zoomed in on me. My goodness, that caught me off guard there, Houston. It's like, why is my head so big? Anyway, last year, when he came in from Wisconsin, I mean, I was on Sports Talk Mississippi pretty loudly saying, I don't like this pickup. I don't understand it. He hasn't been great at Wisconsin. Why would he go to Florida? How does that fit with what Napier wants to do? And he did a great job of shutting me up. He completed almost 73% of his passes, threw for nearly 3,000 yards, and that's despite missing a game. And also threw 20 touchdowns to only 3 picks. A really nice season for Graham Mertz, and a season for Florida that was very disappointing. Mertz was a huge bright spot for them. And it was, like I say, it was completely out of the blue. At Wisconsin, he had not been good. Had never completed better than 62% of his passes. Had not had that kind of touchdown-interception ratio. And so it got me to thinking, when you think about the quarterbacks in the conference this year, right? Obviously, some guys are getting big hype. Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, Jackson Dart, big hype around those guys. Then you've got some guys who aren't proven, and whether they're getting hype or not, you know, Nico I don't know how to pronounce his last name, at Tennessee. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. Brock Vandergrift at Kentucky. Connor Wiegman is not a lot of production there. But they're getting hype, but you don't have anything to sort of base it on. There's two quarterbacks in this conference who have played a lot of football and at the same time aren't getting a lot of hype. And that's Taven Green at Arkansas and Blake Shapen at Mississippi State. So for this Graham Mertz role I'm trying to fill here, those are really the only two guys. And when I look at Taven Green and what he has around him at Arkansas in that situation, I don't buy into the idea that he's going to have a great season for the Hogs. Shapen, on the other hand, as we just talked about previously, I like his offensive line. I like his receiver room. Obviously, for me, it's going to have to be about him staying healthy. But if he stays healthy, this offense has, through the years, shown a consistency at the quarterback position. And they just find a way to get guys great numbers. When you look at Corral and his college stats at Ole Miss, they're very consistent with what Dylan Gabriel was able to do at Florida State, and I'm not sorry, at Florida State, at Central Florida, and then again at Oklahoma. The stats are just kind of consistent. In fact, the stats I mentioned for Mertz are very similar to the stats that Corral put up his last year at Ole Miss. He threw for more yards. He threw for just shy of 3,400 yards, but 20 touchdowns to 5 picks. He completed 68% of his passes. Dylan Gabriel, the past couple years, kind of along that same path. So if Shapen gets a full 13 games, based statistically off of what Lebby's quarterbacks have done previously, you should be able to pencil him in for near 3,000 yards for 20 to 25 touchdowns and should be less than 10 interceptions. And I'll just go out on a limb right now and tell you, if you tell me that he's going to give you the same numbers that Mertz gave Florida last year or that Corral was able to give Ole Miss maybe to a lesser degree, then I definitely would tell you Mississippi State's going to be a bowl team this year. I wouldn't have any problem making that prediction for you right now. Now, in the running game is where it's obviously a little different. Corral, a huge part of the Ole Miss running game. He rushed for 1,100 yards. Last year, Dylan Gabriel rushed for just over 300 yards. He did rush for 12 touchdowns, though. My guess is, without knowing off the top of my head, that that's a lot of goal line, that either some QB option down there or possibly some scrambles where he has gotten to the end zone where they spread the field. But 12 rushing touchdowns for him. Corral rushed for 11 touchdowns his last year at Ole Miss, his senior year. So I don't think Shapen is going to rush for 614 yards the way Corral did, but he could be around the 320, 330 yards that Dylan Gabriel. Let me get the exact number on that. He could be close to those numbers. I don't know if it'll be double digit touchdowns. And Gabriel rushed for 373 last year, 315 his junior year at Oklahoma. I think if you told me right now that I'm going to get 350 rushing yards out of Blake Shapen in a 12-game season, you'll take that. I mean, that's less than 30 yards per game, guys. I don't feel like you're asking for, you're not asking him to be Lamar Jackson or Cam Newton out here and rush for close to 1,000 yards. You're just asking him to be in the positive more often than not. Now, with Mertz, and you're trying to keep that comparison going, not a great runner. Negative 75 yards rushing a season ago. He took a lot of sacks, obviously. So there's going to be a player like this in the SEC this year. There's going to be a player that we're not talking about, or maybe we're talking about in a negative way. We're like, why did they take him? And think back to when Shapen committed to Mississippi State. Even I was guilty of it, that, not sure about that. That's an interesting fit. Maybe they'll continue to pursue other quarterbacks. Jeff Lebby has been very adamant that Blake Shapen is the guy that he wanted to run this offense, and that their relationship through camp has been incredible. He feels like he and his quarterback are on the same page. They're doing the same things. They're of one mind. They feel about where they are. So, like I said, somebody is going to be that player in the SEC. Shapen, to me, is the lead candidate to be that guy, the player that nobody's talking about here in August, but when we get to November, everybody's going to be like, wow, that guy was a lot better than we thought he would be. You know, when I think about the guys at State who are getting hype right now, Kelly Akari is making his way onto some preseason watch lists, as is Kevin Coleman. Ethan Miner is a guy that everybody thinks is going to be great for Mississippi State, but he's a center. You know, how much hype is he really going to get? Defensively, you know, maybe a little Stone Blanton, maybe a little DeMonte Russell, but there's just not a lot of hype there. Not a lot of players for State getting a lot of hype as it is. But Chapin is really under the radar, and again, when everybody talks about him, it's the first thing out of their mouth is, well, if he stays healthy. I'm here to tell you that if he stays healthy, and he's going to put up numbers, because that's what Jeff Lebby's offense has done every single season he's been a offensive coordinator. Every offense he has called plays for has been successful. Every offense he has called plays for has been one of the top offenses in the country. So if it doesn't happen, it will be the first time. That's one of those things where people say, well, you know, this, that, and the other. All you can go on is what you've seen in the past, right? And all I can go on is that Jeff Lebby, everywhere he has been a juggernaut offensively. He was great. He took an Ole Miss team that wasn't a good offensive team, and he turned them into a great offensive team. He took over an Oklahoma team that was a really good offensive team under Lincoln Riley. They lost a ton of players, but he kept the offense going. And then last year, they were one of the best teams in the country offensively. So you have to play with those odds, and the odds tell you that Jeff Lebby is going to come in and get it done offensively. I, for one, am very excited for next week just to finally see what it looks like. You know, because I've watched a ton of Oklahoma and Ole Miss highlights this offseason, so I have an idea. I know what it looks like there. I'm interested to see what it looks like in maroon and white. And I'm interested to see if Blake Chapin can in fact become this quarterback. And it's crucial for State for him to be that guy, by the way, because recruiting quarterbacks, you need to have this first guy show off, right? You know, the reason that Jackson Dart and then Walker Howard and then Austin Simmons were interested in playing at Ole Miss is because Matt Corral was able to show from day one in this offense that, hey, you can come here and be successful and go to the next level. State needs that from Blake Chapin as well. They need for him to show in year one, hey, this is an offense that can do things and get you to the next level. So we're going to change gears totally. We're going to talk some basketball when we come back. Schedule out and some recruiting news. We'll do it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Be sure. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad, live here at the Golden Moon at the Sportsbook at Timeout Lounge. I placed my bet today. You should come do the same. And you can get the you can hit the quick bet kiosk over here. You can go over there to the full betting kiosk over there and just hit it up to the desk and place your bet, and you will be a winner every time you come to the Golden Moon. Visit Vicksburg. Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Once again, they give me the freedom to pick. So this Saturday, mind-body stretching at the Secret Garden Spa, 1703 Monroe Street. The event begins at 7 o'clock. It's a relaxing yoga stretching experience for the full body to help with stress and anxiety. For more information, call 769-203-0511. We're just very peaceful, easy feeling here tonight on Thunder. We're just trying to relax, you know, getting ready for the start of football season. And before that, we want to, you know, keep a low profile up in this. I feel like I'm something like Bob Ross here. Like, yeah, I'm just going to paint a little tree right here, a little happy tree. Let's talk some hoops. And we'll start with the schedule. Mississippi State, the SEC announced the men's and women's basketball schedule today. I want to start with the women just for one quick note that, as we reported, as my friend Robbie Falk reported earlier today, the way the SEC is set up this year, only one game against Ole Miss. I thought that was interesting. You only play one team twice on the women's side, and for Mississippi State, it's Auburn. It's not Ole Miss. So the game in Starkville in early January will be, or mid-January, will be the only game between the two rivals. I found that kind of odd. From the men's perspective, three teams you play twice for State. It's South Carolina, Alabama, and, of course, Ole Miss. Games against the Rebels on the 18th of January and the 15th of February. Those are both Saturday games. So I don't remember the last time both games between those two schools were on Saturdays, that there wasn't a weeknight game between the two. State starts the year off at home against South Carolina, finishes on the road against Arkansas. Between their home dates with Kentucky, the Rebels, as I mentioned, Alabama, Missouri, Florida, Texas A&M, LSU, and Texas in year one in the SEC will come to the Humphrey Coliseum. State goes on the road to Vanderbilt, Auburn, Tennessee, South Carolina. As I mentioned, they play them twice. At Georgia, at Ole Miss, at Oklahoma. So their first game with the Sooners as a member of the SEC will be in Oklahoma. That's not the first time State's been to Norman for a basketball game, though. I believe in 1996, in the final 4 years, State played at the University of Oklahoma. And as I mentioned, they finished the year out with the Arkansas Razorbacks. So their first game against John Calipari as a head coach in Arkansas will be at Bud Walton Arena to finish out the year on March 8th. Some good home dates in there, obviously. Getting Texas in there is cool. LSU, good. Alabama and Ole Miss, those will be big crowds. So State 18th is a Saturday. So the game against Alabama is a weekday game, the home game against the Crimson Tide. Alabama likely to be a top five preseason team. Auburn could also be a preseason top 10 team. The SEC in basketball this year the SEC has just become a meat grinder in basketball. As tough as we talk about baseball and football in the SEC, the men's basketball has become a really, really tough grind for everybody. And Mississippi State's part of that as well. The Bulldogs, this should be a really good team with Josh Hubbard and Cam Matthews back. With the additions they've made to the transfer portal, I'm very excited to see Riley Kugel. I think he has a chance to be one of the top players in the SEC for Mississippi State this year. They added a lot of talent. The expectations are going to be high. You know, you go back to a season ago, and I talked about I thought this team would be able to contend for an SEC championship. They weren't close to that, but they were a good team, but they weren't close to competing for a championship. I don't know if this team is there either, just because of the quality around the conference this year, but I do believe that this team will be improved and better than it was a season ago. Got some basketball news hyped up for this season from the 662, and then we got some football stuff here on the text line from the Ceasefire text line, 601-879-4395. Denny and Flo would ask, what do you think will the first play of the Showtime era will be at Mississippi State? You know, I had an interview with Dan Mullen, which if you haven't checked it out, by the way, it's available on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. And I talked to him about that, and I said, you know, I've always wanted to ask about your first play call. Was that on purpose? You know, did you call it a reverse pass just to show the fans? And he's like, absolutely, we did. So I wonder if Levy will do something similar to that. And it's sort of, you know, he's got Bumpus on staff. Maybe Bumpus will have a call back there. But let's go back to basketball. You know, when you look at the schedule for Mississippi State, and they're not done with it just yet. They're still looking to add a couple more games if they can. But it's going to be kind of similar to what we've seen these past few years with Jans, in that he's going to play some good teams at neutral sites and give himself a chance to build up that net going into conference play. They're playing SMU. That's a true road game. That's in Dallas. That will be a good game for them. SMU was a 20-win team a year ago. Obviously, they took Andy Enfield from Southern Cal. He's now the head coach there. The Arizona tip-off with UNLV, and then either Butler or Northwestern. Those will be good. Northwestern was a great win for Mississippi State on the resume a year ago, so we have a chance for that again. The SEC-ACC Challenge, that's a home game against Pitt, but Pitt should be a quality net team. They have a game in Tupelo against McNeese State. Will Wade, obviously, still at McNeese. They were an NCAA tournament team a year ago. You've got a true road game at Memphis. That's the last game that's scheduled in the non-conference. My guess is the next game, if they can get it in there, will be between the 21st of December, which is when that game at the FedEx Forum is, and the 4th of January, which is the start of conference play. I don't remember the last time State played Memphis in the regular season. They've played them a couple of times in the postseason. They played them in the NIT Championship a few years ago. They played them in the NCAA tournament the year that Memphis went to the Final Four. But I don't remember the last time State and Memphis played in the regular season. So that's a cool matchup, and I would imagine there'll be a good crowd of Mississippi State fans at that one. Hey, sticking with the basketball news, let's play that song for us. What do you say, Rhino?
Creepin', 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 creepin'.
Really feels like Chris Jans this year is going to be a little more high school heavy in the recruiting than he was in the portal, and brings in a guy this today, Cameron Paul, a wing out of Coppell, Texas, 6'6", 180. He had a lot of quality offers, did Cameron Paul. Offers from SMU, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, LSU, Wake Forest, Wichita State. Those are good quality programs. State may sign four or five guys out of the high school ranks this year, which is, you know, completely different than what they did a season ago, where they were so dependent on the transfer portal. And, you know, you look at this year's starting lineup, you bring in Hubbard and Matthews. Those are two guys who've been with you. But Kanye Clary and Riley Kugel and the two centers from Miami and Providence and Claudel Harris from Boston College and Melendez from Georgia. State, so many transfers this year, and now it looks like, I think that Chris Jans' success at Mississippi State the first 2 years is starting to pay off a little bit, and I don't think you can underestimate what having a player like Josh Hubbard does for you in the recruiting profile. We talked just a few minutes ago about how what Matt Corral's performance at Ole Miss was able to do for them and their ability to recruit quarterbacks. The same thing goes for Hubbard. Guys see Josh Hubbard. They see him getting the ball. They see him scoring a lot of points, and they think, well, I can do that too. And so Chris Jans becomes an attractive coach thanks to having a player like Josh Hubbard and having a guy who's, you know, when you think about Hubbard this year, he should be one of the nation's leading scorers. He should be a guy averaging close to 20 points per game. Because you think about a season ago, he came off the bench early in the season. This year, he's a starter from day one. And he's going to have a big target on his back, obviously. But Mississippi State has put enough pieces around him, I think, that teams can't just completely run their focus on him. If they do that, they're going to have problems with that. That is not you singing recruiting. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Greg. That is absolutely Brian Haydad singing recruiting. And the background music there is the great Jerry Reed and Chet Atkins. Jerry's Breakdown is the name of that song. That is absolutely me. It has been since we debuted the Cruton song, gosh, probably like 10-plus years ago. So, yeah. Cruton. Yeah, that's me. One of the key pieces in recruiting this year for Mississippi State is going to be the top player in the state of Mississippi, one of the big men here in the country, Davis Fleming, one of the top players in the state of Mississippi and in the country, just a really good player out of Canton, who I think State kind of leads for right now, but you never know, with that. But he's a big guy. Big scorer. If State can add him to the roster, that will be a big win for Mississippi State and for Chris Jans, four-star player out of Canton High School. One thing about Mississippi high school basketball recruiting, it's very underrated. There's always talented guys here. There's always at least one or two guys that you look up and you say, wow, they really, a lot of schools missed on them. So I don't think Davis Fleming is that guy, though. He's got a lot of great schools after him. So, all right, we'll be back in just a minute. We'll wrap it up here from the Golden Moon. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thank you.
this. I just, you know, I need a whole setup. TVs everywhere, full bar, full restaurant. Let's get that in my house somehow. I don't know how I'm going to convince the wife of that one. We'll figure it out another time. It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi, wrapping things up with you here on a Wednesday evening. Appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, appreciate Rhino down there in Studio X. He's made sure, once again, the ship has, we've almost docked. We're almost there. Also want to give a big thanks to Houston and Alex here for all their hard work today. And of course, they you know it's a long week for us here on the Super Talk. We've had all these remotes, and you know I just got to show up and talk for a little while. These are the folks, Alex and Houston. They set everything up. They make sure everything's right for us. So big thanks to them. Visit Vicksburg is our sponsor of the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. No more yoga, but the ribbon cutting and open house for the Jackson Street Art Gallery at Mulberry is next Tuesday. 6 days from today, we'll say. 11 a.m. at the Mulberry, 1311 Mulberry Street in Vicksburg. For more information on the event, visit www.vicksburgusa.com. It's almost football season, guys. I mean, I don't know what else I can tell you at that point. It is the taste of it. Earlier today is it's like you can come into the house and you smell mom's cooking. And you're like, oh, man, that smells good. What are we having? That smells good. Then you go check the oven. You're like, oh, it's got a ways to go. We still got a little ways to go, right? We got to get to Saturday. Saturday is the appetizer, all right? Mom put out a little, you know, little veggie tray for us, maybe a little charcuterie. Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, my mom never made charcuterie, but you see what I'm getting at. And it's just, yeah, oh, we got a little something you can munch on until it's time for the main course. The main course is next week. We're off and running, and thank goodness, because I every year it feels like the off season is somehow both faster and slower. Now, maybe the faster part is just because I'm getting old, and I know the days are getting numbered for me, but the slower part, for some reason, every year it feels like from that last game, it's just interminable. You know, we have media days, and you get to go to that, and that gives you the taste of football in your mouth, but man, this last month is just the worst. Yeah, you go to practice and you talk to those guys, and it's just like, can we just play the games? Do we really need to practice? Let's just get out there. Everybody knows how to play football. Everybody knows what they're doing. Let's get after it. So, really looking forward to the start of the football season, more so than usual. And you know, that's coming from a guy, as you know, a fan of a team that not in the college football playoff discussion this year. But I feel like there's so much going on in college football, and I feel like Mississippi State is it's the start of a new era. And I feel the same way I did at the beginning of the Dan Mullen tenure, where I was excited because I think they've got a guy in place who can elevate this program back to where it was. And I think they've got the guy in place who can be a 2.0 version of Dan Mullen. And so I like that. I like that. I like where State is as a program. Hey, you may have seen me tweet about this earlier today if you follow me on Twitter. But they're going to do a concert this year for Cowbell Yell. They're changing Cowbell Yell up. It's not going to be in the stadium. It's going to be in the Junction. And country artist Ernest is going to be performing. Now, I won't lie to you. First, somebody said Ernest is playing. I was like, I thought he died. I thought that you were talking about Jim Varney. You know what I mean? I thought that was, I didn't know what it meant. I did not know who Ernest was, but I've done some digging and looked at him. This is a pretty good get for Mississippi State. So it's really cool. State is getting into this concert thing. They've got Hardy playing at Duty Noble, and I think they're going to have some big shows at Davis Wade in the near future to announce. But I think it's cool. State has got to find ways to make itself a more exciting destination for college students, and I feel like this year has been a good year for that. And Jeff Lebby, you know, talking about Showtime, this can be part of it. You know, it's not just what you do on the field; it's what's going on around the university. It can't just be, you know, oh yeah, we have an exciting football team. That's not enough. That's not enough these days, guys. Kids want to see more. But so I like where they are here. I like seeing this. So check it out. On the 30th, so it's the night before the first football game, Ernest will be in the Junction playing live, starting at 7 o'clock p.m. for the for Cowbell Yell. Love Cowbell Yell. I've been many times. It's always a cool event. Mississippi State has always done a really good job with it. I'm interested to see how they work the musical act around it, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. So go check that out. And I'm really cool. When we talk to you again next week, we will be talking about games. We're going to be talking about Mississippi State versus Eastern Kentucky. We're going to be talking about the start of the college football season. It's finally here. We don't have to go another step further without football. We're just there. And I can't wait. And I know you can't wait either. So, Thunder and Lightning tomorrow. Arizona State preview is on there with Brad Denny from covers the Sun Devils out there in Phoenix. Plus, we talked about that Blake Chapin thing. Robbie and I go into a lot more detail about our thoughts on Chapin in the first year of Jeff Lebby here at Mississippi State. That's going to wrap us up here from the Golden Moon, from the Sportsbook at Timeout Lounge. For Rhino down there in Studio X, for Alex in Houston, for everybody here at Pearl River Resort, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks so much for joining me here on a Wednesday evening on Thunder and Lightning. We'll see you next week.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.